I'm Lila Ree.
And I'm Nick B.
Listen, we're just two single girls from the City of Roses discussing all things love, lust, and perception.
And roses are a symbol of all things beautiful about love.
But as you know, love can get a little dirty. So we're here to talk about it.
Dirty Roses Podcast starts now.
Hey, I'm Lila Ree.
And I'm Nick B.
And welcome to Dirty Roses Podcast. Guess what, y'all? We're going to be talking about our little histories and the HBCUs.
Yes.
With the future generations here. Yes. And if you can't see because you're listening, I'm pointing to my left and Nick B's right. But we got two young students that we both know very personally. Yes. That both go to HBCUs. Mm-hmm. But both Nick B and I went to HBCUs.
We sure did.
And as some of y'all know, I won't say everybody knows, but HBCU experiences are a lot different than PWIs. And if you don't know what that means, we're going to say HBCU is...
A historical black college university.
All right, and a PWI is...
Predominantly white institute.
And she got real Caucasian on that one. Got it. She had to really emphasize that so you guys understood the difference.
Whoa.
But should we introduce our guest first?
Okay.
Or should we go to the store first?
Because we already introduced ourselves.
We did. Okay. Well, to my left, to your right, or whoever's right, I don't know.
Next to you.
Next to me. This is great. I love it. One of the youth that I used to mentor, who now goes to Clark Atlanta University, who is studying social... What's the word?
Justice unit?
Social work.
There you go.
Lord, have mercy. I'm going to get my life together. I got my girl Kayla here.
Hello. I guess I could do my little Clark intro. Hello, everyone. I am Kayla Pierce, a junior social work major attending the illustrious Clark Atlanta University.
She practiced that one.
She did.
It is not her first time.
We so far removed. But I'm going to let you introduce y'all.
Yes. So, sitting to my other side is my amazing, beautiful, talented cousin who is actually attending the HU, the Howard University, first year student. And why don't you go ahead and just give us a little introduction of yourself?
Hey, everybody. My name is Kyla. I am a first year student at Howard University, as my wonderful cousin just said. I am a sociology major and... Yeah, that's me.
And I need to say, I went to Alabama A&M University.
The
Alabama Agricultural and Mechanical University in Normal, Alabama.
Normal?
It's in Huntsville, but Normal is the city in which the college resides, which is inside the city. So we have our own little city,
okay,
which nobody else around here got. That's a little HBCU shade. But go ahead, girl, where
and
you go?
I went to the Norfolk State University. Behold, the green and gold.
Oh my goodness.
So yes, we are joined today with HBCU all around us, different schools, different experiences. But I know we are going to bond over some similar experiences.
Absolutely.
So let's dive into the show.
Well, you know, every episode starts with a story or two or three. And we got a couple since we all went to HBCU. So we're going to talk about parties. Since we talk about dating and relationships, we're going to talk about a little party life, a little party, how freshmen meet and how, you know, they get out and around. My freshman year, I don't know, are we allowed to talk about certain organizations? We'll say it is NPHC organization.
Okay.
A National Panhellenic Council organization. For those of y'all don't know, those are Black Greek letter organizations. I won't say which one, but it was a gentleman one. We went to a party, and we were sipping on some wonderful juice that they create specific to their organization. And one of the funny things that we learned was, well, I don't know if they do it everywhere, but at this particular party, we had to remove our shoes and show our toes to make sure that we were kept well enough to be present in their party.
Oh, wow. I never had that experience. Have any of you guys?
No.
Well, thank God for self-care Sundays, because that made me and my roommates all was like, every Sunday, I was like, okay, we painting toes, we pressing hair, we doing all this. So every Sunday we did that. Yes. And so, yeah, we had a regular practice of pedicuring our toes. Thank God. Okay. I mean, we were allowed to go and stay at the party.
I wouldn't be able to stay there today. They'd be like, ma'am, we can tell that you have not been self-caring for your feet lately.
But the funny thing is my roommate, her brother was a part of this organization.
Okay.
And little did we know that the whole crew had been told to leave us alone because we were the siblings. And so even though we had to show the toes and we had to, you know, do all that stuff, we were like off limits. They were like, it was, and it was very apparent after a while because they're like, oh, you so-and-so's, oh, okay. And they'd walk away. And us as freshmen, we was like, we thought we was kicking it. We was like, we got VIP access this particular party. We felt special just to get shunned.
That was
my first party experience.
I'm trying to think of what my first party experience. It wasn't Greek. I went to some later, but my first actual party experience was a party that happened every Thursday.
Hey, Thursday.
It was every Thursday, and it was called the Sweat Box. Now, we don't have a Sweat Box on campus anymore, from what I've been told, but the Sweat Box was exactly as it sounds. It is a hot mess. Mess. And so the parties were always held in the old gym, where there was no air conditioning. And so
campus got an old gym,
they got an old gym with no air conditioning. And so, like, one of your parties you remembered that you really had to make sure that you were overly put together.
Yes.
Our girls and guys showed up in biker shorts, tank tops, beaters, hair pulled back in a bun because it wasn't about being cute. They knew that they were going to dance their tails off and that you were going to get, don't come in with makeup because it's going to be smeared all over anyway because running down your face.
Oh no.
So the sweat box was literally a sweat box and it was so much fun.
So
those were my first dances, little gatherings, get together on campus that I remember going to.
I feel like everybody had like some sort of sweat, like not the sweat box, we didn't have a sweat box, but we had a club that we went to called the Oasis and it was an after hours club and it was like everybody went afterwards, but it was the size of the room that we're in, probably maybe a little bit bigger, and it was like the most crackiest Caribbean Jamaican club ever in life. You go in with your hair perm, come out with the full afro.
Right.
It was
so
nice.
We clearly have been going down memory lane.
We have guests. Okay, so tell us about either your first party experience or your first social experience.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like we have a few parties like yours, but ours, our parties are all off campus. So I have to take an Uber every single way I go.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So like going to yours, we have something like that and they call it the Juice Jam because then they have everybody, typically like all the Greeks juices there. So that one was pretty interesting because they had kind of had them in sections and some of them kind of made you pay for it. But others, I'm just like, no, let me get yours. Like I supported my cup, really. I think that one was pretty much probably like my favorite. And then we have this one similar to like yours, but ours had like, it was like a foam party. So they had like foam and that's where a lot of it would be like super sweat and real nasty,
sounds nasty. Yeah, all at the same time.
Yeah, because a lot of it was like themed. So it was like either that one or we had like a toga. So it was kind of like the Greek goddesses. So you like tied like a sheet around you.
Okay.
That one was probably like my top favorite.
What about you? Ew,
okay, well, I've been in school for a semester at this point, but I have a couple stories. So my first ever party experience was on the yard. I'm pretty sure it's the day I got to school, actually. It was that night. I went with my roommate, and she had a couple of people that she had, like, met through social media or something of the sort, and we all went to the yard. And that's when I first realized, like, I'm not in Portland anymore. Like, this is my life now. And I wasn't mad at it.
I love it.
And then I had a homecoming experience. My friend flew in from out of state, and we were at this little club. It was an 18 plus party though, so we were fine. But you quickly learn that a lot of people don't know how to act. Bum rushing the doors. People weren't allowed to get out. Like me and my friend were just trying to get out at that point, and they were like, "No, you gotta wait." And there were these. It was these two dudes that like tag teamed me and my friend, right?
I don't know how I feel about that.
Right.
I didn't like it either.
Clarify tag team.
Tag team as in like, they definitely plotted beforehand. They were like, okay, I'm gonna go after this one. You go after that one. We
the holleration
like,
tag.
Yes. Okay. That. And the thing is like, we weren't feeling it, right? And so there was that, but what am I trying to say? Gave him like the number and I was like, I'm never gonna text you again. So you can just have this, but I'm not gonna respond, right? And I'm sitting there kind of just like, not even dancing, like just moving a little bit to the music. He's like, LOL, I see you with the shoulder work. I was like.
Wait, he was texting you already?
He was texting me.
At the party.
LOL, I see you with the shoulder work.
So I remember now to also, the shoulder Kyla. Work? Kayla.
I know it's going to be so confusing. Kayla and Kyla. We got it.
So is it like this for you also, if a guy that you meet at a dance or mm-hmm. anything, if they ask you for your number, because back in our day, we used to be able to give fake numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But today it seems like they will text you on the spot.
They will. They're like, that's the thing.
I'm going to text you and call you so you have my number. So
I gave him a fake name.
So it's
like that too, like having like, I want to say like an alter ego, but like when I'm out and it kind of, I think it depends if you're cute or not, if I'm going to really tell you
exactly.
My
room.
Because
mm-hmm.
then I tell you where I'm not from. Because like also like my first year, it was a lot of that. Like coming from here, the men down there, I stay in the AUC. So I stay with Morehouse Spelman, mm-hmm. Morris Brown.
Right.
So like when being on campus and there would be like guys, I'm telling you from here, they put pressure on you. So they're going to let you know that they want you. Mm-hmm. So the difference mm-hmm. is like, depending if I was like you, I was like, oh yeah, my name's Nina. I'm from Vegas. My name is Kayla and I'm from Portland. So if you was cute right. or not, then you got it. But there's super pressure on, like, yeah, like you said,
especially
they're gonna be
the
like, text
girls.
You. I'm gonna text you now,
yeah.
so you can save my number.
Yeah, that's they facts.
Yeah.
Did they warn y'all about the locals when you first get to campus, or was locals an issue for y'all?
I wouldn't say it's been an issue, but they're in DC. They're much more aggressive and bold out there. Mm. Much more.
And probably because they have a higher population of, you know, black folks, they are more accustomed to, unlike us.
Well, let me also ask you this. Yeah. So on your campuses, what would you say the ratio of guy to girl is?
Mm. Oh, mine is, I go to a co-ed school because, like, you know, you have the other two, which are all female and all male. Yeah. Mine's probably like 19. There's so many girls. Mm.
Same.
So rather than guys at our campus.
I want to say the ratio at Howard is 70-30, 70%.
Yeah. Because we have one male dorm and the rest are, we have two co-ed and the rest are like girls. Yeah. So it's super low for guys.
I'm trying to remember at my school, I think we had, so I stayed in the girls' dorms.
Okay.
Of course. Well, opposed to like the co-ed.
Yeah.
Opposed to co-ed. It's like
we didn't have co-ed back then.
So we only, did we have co-ed? No, okay. No, we did not. Mm. Not at Norfolk State. At Oregon State, because I did do a year at a PWI. Before I transferred mm-hmm. to Norfolk State. Mm-hmm. So when I was at the PWI, my dorm there was co-ed.
Mm.
And I had a hard time adjusting then going to an HBCU because I couldn't understand, like, well, why wouldn't you guys, why is it like this? Why are the guys literally on the other end of campus?
That's how ours was too.
And we're over here, like, what's the point? You know,
it was a trek to get to the other side. And see, my dorm had the good cafeteria, so everybody at least came down to our cafeteria. Mm-hmm. The boys' dorm all the way on the other side of campus had a caf, but it wasn't good.
Yep.
So everybody came to ours, and it was lit. Like, performances, everything. We had food fights, all kinds of stuff in there. But, yeah, we didn't have co-eds at all.
And so you guys have a co-ed.
Yeah,
you guys have a co-ed dorm? You do.
Yeah, it's a co-ed dorm. Upperclassmen, though, so we have two co-ed dorms.
We have a few, actually. I mean, there's the ones that, like, primarily the upperclassmen stay in. But then, so mine is an all-girls dorm. I'm in College Hall North is what it's called. College Hall South is co-ed. So, like, literally the next dorm over.
Mm-hmm. And is it separated by floor, or, like, would your neighbors be guy or girl?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
I stayed in there last year, and my neighbor was a guy, but I shared. But the floor was kind of spread out with like guys and girls.
Is that weird, like sharing a bathroom space with opposite sex?
Mm.
No. My roommates were girls, but my neighbor
your dorm, you have bathrooms in your dorm.
Oh yes, because that one, since they were upperclassmen, they were more like I had stayed not in the traditional type. So like when I did come my freshman year, my bathroom was in my room. So then when I went to sophomore year, my bathroom was in my room again. So I didn't experience the. Like,
and for both my dorm experiences, it was a dorm
communal.
It was communal. Mm. So even at my co-ed dorm, it wasn't that we shared restrooms with the guys. They had their, like, their wing.
Gotcha. So men's shower
was on
here.
The left side. Women's showers was on the right half. Even though the dorm was set up to where every other dorm room was guy, girl.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But the bathrooms are on one wing for one gender and on the other wing for the other.
Wow. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Well, okay. So talking guy, girl, whatever. Do you find that the women are friendly on the campus to other women, or is it kind of like, do you have like those hidden animosities, or is there like social beefing,
kind of catty? What's it like,
because like you're like a high ratio? So
I feel like so far my experience, I don't know, because where I come from, I just feel like everybody's so friendly, and I think everybody else is like that too, because like also coming down from like going to the South, I just really got that Southern hospitality. Like, people are, to me, like, people came off super sweet and super nice. I feel like a lot of the times when they're not really any internet beef, because we have this thing called and it's not AUC Vibes, it's called, it's like an anonymous app that they have. It's like, oh, crap.
Because we got one, too.
What's it called?
Fizz.
See, I heard of that. Because ours is, like, it has our AUC. So, like, the...
Oh, okay.
So, I'm trying to think what it is. But it's, like, they have a non-standard that people talk on it. But besides that, like, since I've been there my junior year, within the three, like, institutions, the only, like, beef, like, we have, or, like, girl on girl, like, I'm not feeling you, is, like, with their next institution. But not really, like, inside of Clark, really, since I've been here. So far, the girls have been cool.
So, y'all beef with the other schools.
Yeah, you know. We try not to, because, like, oh, we're supposed to be sister unity. But then it's always like that. Clark girls are bougie, and Spelman girls are, yeah, but that's pretty much, like.
She said, we ride at dawn.
That's really just it, but it'd be, like, only around, like, a certain time, like, around homecoming or, like, around rivalry time. But besides that, I've been just been pretty good with girls for me.
Okay. What's it like? Do either of you date on campus? You do?
Yeah, my boyfriend goes to Morehouse.
So. Okay.
Yeah. I tried a Clark guy, but that was a no for me. So
I haven't been too fond of the pick of the litter at Howard personally. Oh. So there's this, it's like a thing. Because it's so many more women than men, everybody's always like, the chances are pretty high that if you're dating a Howard man, somebody else is also dating that Howard man. Mm.
That's like Portland.
No, the town is so small here.
Yeah, like the pool is not.
So then with the ratio being so heavily weighted with women, do the guys come off cocky?
And like, some of them.
Yeah. For sure. Mm.
And it kills me because I'll look at them.
Like, you have no reason to act like this.
Okay.
And look at you. And look at me.
I suppose.
Oh, no. So what is, like, some of, like, the worst experiences that y'all have had with, aside from the holleration tag team?
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I wouldn't say I've had, like, a super terrible experience. I would just say they're dry. Oh. Like, they don't know how to hold a conversation. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, they don't care enough to. And I'm like,
so they're
at that
aggressive
point,
and whack in conversation.
Oh, the aggressive ones haven't been on campus. The aggressive ones are just when I'm walking around.
Oh, when you're walking down. Yes. Listen, we have a thing called the promenade. And, like, that's, like, a sitting in front of, like, anywhere. It starts from, like, where one of our academics building is into, like, our library. Because we share our library with Morehouse and Spelman. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you could just be sitting outside, especially during summertime, because I stay on an open campus, so our campus is pretty open. So, like, anybody could walk in down.
Same.
And same thing, like she said, super aggressive. I could be sitting on my phone. Hey, like, what you talking about? I'm like, what?
I'm not even talking to you.
Like, do you even? I'm like, oh, so what's your classification? So what you talking about? So you don't go here. You know, very aggressive, very on my body for sure.
Wow. Heavily. I love that question, classification, because I feel that not many people understand what it is. So for those that don't know, when someone asks you, what is your classification? Can you explain to our listeners what that means?
So anytime anybody asks you my classification is, they say I'm a junior. So just kind of like saying what year you are rather than saying like what's your...
What grade you are.
Yeah, what grade you are rather than what's your classification. Be like, oh, I'm a junior, or I say that, like, I'm class of 25.
Or especially because, like, people may say, oh, yeah, what year are you in school or whatever, and it's hard to explain that, like, oh, well, I'm technically a junior, but I'm still taking a few sophomore classes.
Because it's very common to, like, be, like, a what they call a fifth year senior or whatever, where you're, like, you're in your third year, but you're classified as a sophomore, or you know, whatever. So that is a lot easier to answer. But to your point, you can ask somebody that who doesn't go to college, and if they don't answer right, it's because they don't go there. Right. They wouldn't know. And so it's a good indication of run away fast.
Are you two both glad that you chose to go to an HBCU? Is there any part of you that's like, you know, I kind of wish that I had...
No. Absolutely not.
I have to ask the question. No.
If there is anything, and I don't even know if this necessarily... I think it just pertains to the fact that I'm from Portland, Oregon. I would say that sometimes I do wish I was closer to family. Mm-hmm. But as far as regretting going to an HBCU, absolutely not.
Yeah?
Not at all. Like, it wasn't even a thought of, like, when applying for schools that I applied to any PWIs at all. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, nothing against people who do attend those. I just think that I was craving something, like, more than, like, what I was getting here. Like, I went to Jeff, which wasn't super, like, white in a sense.
Right.
But I think that I was kind of tired of, or not even wanting to go to a four-year college and be, like, unapologetically black. So I was like, I don't want to have to think that, like, oh, I got this grade, a bad grade because I'm black, or she's treating me this way because of who I, like, what I look like. So I knew that if I went to HBCU, it's like, girl, they can't do that to you. We all the same. So I was like, I applied to every single HBCU because I just knew that that was where I was going regardless. I was leaving Portland no matter what.
Yeah.
So. Has anybody in your family ever attended HBCUs, or are you first generations?
I'm first generation.
No, my sister actually went to Norfolk.
Yay!
Yes, and then my uncle went to Gremlin. She graduated, I want to say, 2016.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I lied. I do have one of my older sisters, she went to Xavier.
Okay.
But as far as, like, immediate circle, like,
yeah,
mom, little sister, me, I am the first, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Was college heavily stressed in your homes growing up?
I would say, yeah. I think also, like, I looked up to my sister in a sense because, like, when she graduated, I was like, okay, there's an option. Like, I think watching her graduate, I was like, wow, Portland, I feel like people wouldn't even think that all these young Black people are graduating. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, wow, so I have to do this. And then watching my uncle graduate at such a young age, I was like, yeah, this is for me. Like, mm-hmm. I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, same here. Well, college was always stressing for me heavily. And then by the time I got old enough to where I was like, okay, deciding which pathway I wanted to embark on myself, college was still that route that I wanted to take.
I love it. Okay. So what was the application process like for you when you decided that you, like, I'm ready to go to college, I'm ready mm-hmm. to start looking at schools? Mm-hmm. Was it like essays and scholarship yeah. applications and all this stuff? What was that process like for you?
It was all right. I would say that, like, I had a great counselor at Jeff, but I think it also wasn't mm-hmm. pressed about HBCUs because I really mm-hmm. only knew about, like, Howard, actually, because that's yeah. where I was like, okay, yeah, I have to go here, Ivy League. Like, I was working my butt off for grades. And then I was like, my sister talked to me about her school, but I was like, no offense, it was just a little dry. It was a little dry in the area for me. I was watching her graduate. I was like, there's not much around here. And I was like, Gremlin, oh, no. Louisiana, no, I can't.
Oh,
so I think I took it upon
myself. You're talking about aesthetically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I know exactly what you mean.
So
yeah.
I went and I was like, okay, I have to look at what are more options for me. So it's more like on me trying to do it, which was kind of like the frustrating thing because I was like, I wanted someone to kind of help guide that for me to find schools. But I applied to, like, on the Common Black College app, which made me apply to, like, every single HBCU.
Did they have that when we were? I didn't think so.
Really? Because it was like $20 for us to apply.
I've heard about it since then. Social media's been posted around, but I literally was like paper application, writing stuff down and then mailing it in.
Yeah, so it was just like that for us. Really, and rather than on the Common app, I had to submit like a letter of rec, I had to do an essay. Rather than that, I applied to every single HBCU. I don't know how many we have now, like 107, I'm not
something
too
like
sure.
that. Yeah.
Okay. But it applied to every school and it was just a quick and easy process.
And that was the same for
you? I used the Common application. I didn't even know about that one. I used just the normal Common app. And I did, like, the letter of recommendation. I did a lot of essays.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I did a lot of scholarships. Okay. And I had a teacher my senior year of high school who really is the reason why I got so many scholarships because she was always, at the start of every class, she would always have a list, like, on a slideshow of scholarships that we should be applying to.
Oh, wow.
And so that was definitely very helpful in that process.
I can say that my experiences, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
When I was getting ready to apply to schools, I knew that I wanted to go to an HBCU.
Yeah.
But I feel like I didn't really have the same people pushing me to find scholarships. Mm-hmm. I came from an era of just go apply for loans.
Which
today really, really sucks.
Yeah.
But it's what I knew then,
right?
You know? So I wish we had that same technology.
Yeah.
Like I did the paper application for the schools, and then there was websites that had lists of scholarships, like FastWeb and those things.
Even when you think about websites over 20 years ago, they're not like they are today.
It's not at all. And so, like, you have to click on it, then you have to type up your application or your essay, and then mail that in. So it wasn't like it was emailing. It wasn't like disbursement. It was like, I had to go through and click this link, write an essay, mail it in, click this link, write an essay, mail it in. So it was a very long, tedious process. And I, again, didn't have nobody helping me.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because now we have, I don't know if you guys heard about the UNCF, so the United Negro College Fund. So that also offers like the scholarships and the internship, because a lot of people like never really hear about it, because I'm in pre-alumni council, so we really push for people to be like, this is a huge opportunity, because a lot of people don't know about it, so like they just are like, here, take this money.
Mm-hmm.
Are either of you interested in becoming Greek?
Now you know better, Nicole.
I didn't ask if there was an organization. I didn't say anything about an organization.
That's true.
This is a general question.
Honestly,
you can answer if you are interested.
You can express interest.
Truthfully, I haven't really given it much thought.
Okay.
Like, that's my
honest. Because you're still fresh into the school.
Yeah.
She's got to figure it out.
Right.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
So the answer to your question is yes. I can see it all over your face. And can I say yes? So yes, if someone were to say, is this something you ever aspire to? Mm-hmm. Sure, I would love to. One day, you don't have to say which organization. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say when. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give any other prefix to that. My question is simply, is that something that's interesting to you?
Especially coming from Pacific Northwest. Because we don't have, we have Greeks here, mm-hmm. but it's not like heavy like it is on mm-hmm. the East Coast, the South. And even in even California, they have a heavy Greek population down there. But just the Pacific Northwest isn't as heavy, but we have it here.
We definitely have almost all the organizations are here.
Yeah, we do.
I think
one.
I think SG Row and Iotas, are they here?
Iotas
in Portland.
SG Row has a chapter here.
Okay.
I don't know about, I know they're Iotas here. I don't know if they have a chapter.
I feel like when I was younger, the SG Rows weren't here, but there was a Seattle chapter.
They weren't. And they would come recent down as in the past, I think, 5 or so years.
Okay. That explains why. I was like, I didn't know everybody, but that would make sense then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But so just in case y'all don't know, there's a couple Greeks at this table. We won't say no names because we ain't approved by national to say nothing, but you know what I'm saying? We here.
What activities have you enjoyed? Mm-hmm. Are you guys part of any, what is it about school outside of academics that mm-hmm. helps keep you interested and engaged?
I would say literally my freshman year, I took the time to let's see if I want to be involved. But then mm-hmm. I was I hated it. So I had to get involved. So as of right now, I serve in pre-alumni council as community service chair. And then I also am a campus ambassador. So I do a lot of college tours. We do
that's cool.
Student admitted day, stuff like that. And then also I serve as first attendant for campus activities board. So we plan homecoming, spring fest, movie nights.
I like that.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
That does sound like
fun. Are you someone who enjoys just planning?
Yeah. I enjoy just kind of being, because especially with campus activities where we're I would say we're the drive of CAU. So mm-hmm. Meaning that we plan, we spend months, we're planning welcome back week right now because when we go back for spring. So I'm constantly I learned really from doing this, how to be, we chair events. Mm-hmm. So that means I pick who's going to be doing this job. I, mm-hmm. Do the setup time. So nice. I found a lot of enjoyment of bringing some type of activities or enjoyment from our student body. So I was I like doing this and then doing a bit of service. I go over to Spelman. An organization that focuses on Black, for especially youth, self-care, self-love, and beauty, because we go to Boys and Girls Club 2 times a week, mm-hmm. and we talk to those young girls about how to take care of themselves such at a young age. So I found that this is what I want to do.
And Kyla, you're still really new on campus and really just sort of getting acclimated to your surroundings and even what's in the city. Is there anything that sparks your interest that you're I should definitely get involved in this activity, this organization, this program?
I have given some thought to either debate team or mock trial. I've thought about it. I didn't do it in high school. I feel like I should have done it in high school. If I could go back, I would have done it in high school. I think that that's something I would have enjoyed. But I feel like the opportunity is definitely there now, so I should
definitely look more into it.
Yeah.
And just sort of, which translates to so many different jobs and, mm-hmm. Just being able to articulate and argue a point without being argumentative.
Exactly. That for me, I'm also a person, I love hearing people whose opinions differ from mine and having that level of conversation. So I also think that's the reason why I would enjoy that. Yeah.
So have you thought about doing SGA or anything?
I haven't, but now I am thinking about it.
I feel
now.
That's a, because that kind of sounds around that. With being a vice president, president, class representative, stuff like that.
I'm gonna look into that.
Come on, connections. Okay. Okay, so for those who have not attended HBCUs or even visited campuses, a lot of what they see on TV is a reflection of what they think is the HBCU mm-hmm. experience. So you have movies like Stomp the Yard and
that's filmed at Clark.
For us it was school days, you know what I'm saying? But in those movies, they talk a lot about
school days was actually before us because we were watching that for
other
reasons.
A Different World.
A Different World was a good show. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, School Days and Different World were really big reasons why I loved the Black mm-hmm. experience, and I was I want that experience. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have an American History X experience because that was scary. But with that being said, there are definitely like traditions, values, things that happen or that are like the histories of the schools that are told to you that kind of give you like a sense of belonging. Like, what are those things that are for you on campus?
Ooh, that's a good question. For me, I don't know if this is really answering your question, but I know, so yeah, my senior year, I had the opportunity, I went on a fully funded like HBCU tour trip, like on the East Coast. It was a thing that my school district was doing.
Okay.
And for some reason, as soon as I stepped onto Howard's campus, I was like, this is it. Like, I gotta be here. I couldn't tell you why.
I got a whole text message. She's like,
I did text her, actually. It wasn't even over.
She's like, yep. Decided.
In that moment, I was like, yeah, I think this is where I need to be. And that was that.
I love it. Ooh, wow. That was a good question.
Did you always know you wanted to go to Clark?
No, I actually had three choices. It was Xavier, FAMU, and Clark. Okay. And so then FAMU was like, oh, we need you to have a higher SAT score. And I was like, okay, you know what? Never mind. We're not going to do that.
I'm not taking this again.
Did you also do a college tour like Kyla did?
No, I didn't. Because what was that? My year of 2021. So it was kind of like there was only virtual tours.
Yeah.
So like every school I applied for, there was no option for me to even go in person. So it was kind of like every time I talked to somebody on a tour about Clark, they're like, why'd you choose Clark? Is this your dream school? I was like, honestly, or they asked me like about what everything looks like, and I was like, you have such more of a bigger opportunity than I ever had, because I didn't get to tour any of the schools. Mm-hmm. So I came to Atlanta, also me being the first time I've ever stepped foot in Georgia. So we're gonna take a risk and we're gonna hope that we love Atlanta.
When you did your tour, you didn't do any of the southern universities, you only did the East Coast?
No, it was on the East Coast.
Okay. Wow. That's funny. I did my own college tour. Like, I didn't get to go on one. I really wanted to, but me and a friend from high school, we were like, we're just going to go. So I had family in Louisiana. Her boyfriend lived in Alabama at the time. It was funny that we got to Alabama, and I went to Alabama A&M, obviously, right? But I was there. We were visiting them. They went to another school. They went to Oakwood University, which is also an HBCU, but it's a Seventh-day Adventist school.
Okay.
So we're visiting them, and a commercial came on for Alabama A&M, and it was the cheesiest commercial ever. I mean, it was like the worst rap. It was reading rainbow graphics. Like, it was the worst. And I remember saying to myself, like, if that's what they put out, I'm not going there. Yeah. Like, who does this? And sure enough, when I was applying to all the schools, they were like, you get a full ride scholarship. I was like, ticket please. I'm going there, because I wanted to go to Grambling was my first choice. And don't ask me why. I wanted to be a feature dancer.
Because they have an amazing band.
The band.
And they have amazing dancers. And I remember Grambling actually came to Portland. They played Portland State 1 year. I think we were still in high school, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was such a big deal.
It was.
So for those who knew only a little bit about the Black college experience, that was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
So I understand why you say Grambling.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I'm gonna be a featured dancer, because I ain't dancing. I never did majorette in my life. I was out here two-stepping like, now I'm gonna be out there with a flat girl. I don't know what I thought. But yeah, so that was how I got there, to a school that I thought I was never gonna go to, but I loved it. It was like, when I got there, it was everything to me.
Yeah.
Like, how did you get to Norfolk?
So I got to Norfolk State because when I was a senior in high school, I was heavily involved with an organization that was working to help young Black boys matriculate to college. And I, on the female side of things, was involved but not in the rites of passage portion of things.
Gotcha. Okay, I remember. Yep.
So there was just a lot of conversation and a lot of push about, hey, there's more out there than what you know in Oregon. And here's other colleges and universities of people that look like you and have similar interests. And you should really consider it. So I was like, okay, well, let me really consider it. How I ended up at Norfolk State specifically is that I was looking for schools that had softball teams because I love softball.
Yeah, okay.
And at that time, I think it's grown, it's changed a little bit, but not many of the HBCUs have softball teams. They have baseball teams, but not all of them have a softball team. So that pool, that it was a smaller bucket to choose from.
Right.
I also looked at Florida A&M at the time. I looked at Norfolk State. I think those were actually the only two HBCUs I looked at, because I don't think I necessarily had the highest SATs.
Yeah.
And I was an average student. You know what I mean? I wasn't no C minus. I was a strong C plus B minus.
Damn it. I can't.
You know what I mean? But I was no 4.0 student. Yeah. Never was. And so I was like, well, let me apply here.
Yeah.
And True to a lot of HBCU form, I received my acceptance into Norfolk State literally the week before they wanted me to start school.
Oh, really?
So in my head, I was devastated, actually. I was like, dang, I didn't even get a you can't come to our school letter, you know? I was like, y'all just gonna ghost me via mail? I applied to this mess and you say nothing?
Oh,
and so that's how I ended up doing a year at Oregon State, because they were prompt. They were on time. They sent me my welcome to Oregon State. You are officially a Beaver. And I was like, goddamn right, go Beavs. And so I did my year at Oregon State. Yeah. It wasn't my first choice, but it was my backup, right? And I was like, well, I'm going to college. I'm going somewhere.
Right.
But after I got this letter now from Norfolk State saying, welcome to the Spartans. You know, we'll see you on August 18th.
In two weeks.
It's officially August 7th, right?
Oh my
So I'm like, I have no housing. I have no way there. I haven't mentally prepared for moving across the states. It's like, it's not going to work. I have no classes. No. So I did my year at Oregon State.
Oh, okay.
And I then transferred.
Yeah.
So back to the statement about classification. When I came to Norfolk State, people thought I was a freshman. And because so when they say, what's your classification? I'm like, no, I'm a sophomore. I've already done a year of school. And they actually thought I was a junior because the college courses at Oregon State are weighted differently because it's on a quarter basis versus a trimester.
Right.
Okay.
So the classes were weighted heavier. You know, I'm taking four, like, worth 4 points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But theirs are max only three points.
Right.
So they're like, oh, we see here that you're a math major. No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
One is two, and I like to color.
I was in basic math at Oregon State University. I just had to do a lot of it. And so yeah, that's how I ended up actually at Norfolk State. So
that's great.
A whole year later.
Oh. And in regards to that, shout out number one to early admissions.
Okay.
That part.
Number two, shout out to COVID, because I didn't have to submit my SAT score because of COVID.
That's right.
So, my GPA was pretty good. I'm not even saying that to brag. My GPA was pretty good. My essay was good.
You can brag, girl. Be proud of it.
My essay was good, but that SAT was not. So shout out to COVID.
Man, them SATs, especially if you're not a test taker, is the worst.
Man.
I don't know. Were your SATs? I actually took my SATs at your school.
Oh, really?
Yes. I remember sitting down in the cafeteria, and because at the time, I don't know if it's still like this, but all the students, like, there's testing centers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, the day that I was taking my SAT, I was actually at Jeff, and I met one of my very best friends who went to Jeff.
Aww.
And we sat at the same table, and then we ended up going to Oregon State. She was my neighbor at Oregon State.
That's
and then
great.
I moved, and now we both live in the DC area.
That's
it's
hilarious.
Kind of crazy, but yeah, Jeff is where I took mine, and I wish that I didn't have to take SATs. Because
so did y'all take ACTs?
No, because I think it was only FAMU that was asking this. I was like, dang, everybody, because the same thing, like, during my year of 2021, they waived everything.
That's right.
So I was like, dang, I really wanted to go to y'all, but never mind.
I took SATs and ACTs.
Oh, yeah, we only took ACTs.
And
I can't even remember what's the difference.
I know we had the option, I want to say. Like, we could opt out of the SAT to do the ACT, but I was like, I'll just.
I feel like schools in the South and the East Coast take ACTs.
Okay,
And then some schools take SATs or ACTs.
Did you guys have to do SIM and CAM?
That was only Grant, I think.
No, I did it
what
too.
Is that?
Oh, did you really?
I don't know.
It was just Certificate of Initial Mastery. Which is basically like
and a Certificate of Advanced Mastery.
Yeah, so it was like extra science and extra math classes.
Oh,
and you got
no.
like a little certificate at the end of graduation. No. Which didn't
but they pushed it hard on
they
us.
They did, and it didn't do shit for me. No. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. One school I wanted to go to, and I'm going to say it was a PWI, and I'm glad I didn't go. And it was in Louisiana, and their colors are purple and gold, but whatever.
Oh, first of all, don't do Southern like that.
It's not Southern. Southern's no, HBCU. It was a PWI.
Oh, you're right, PWI. Oh.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Did I just say it?
I know what it is.
I know what it is.
I know what it is.
I had it right. It's been confirmed.
Producer. Wait, producer.
Wait, why ask you if you see my mouth knowing you can't see?
But I'm going to say this. All of this SIM and CAM and all the extra science and math classes I took, they were like, you have to take a chemistry class. And I was in my senior year, and I was getting done with school, and I was like, the hell you mean I gotta take a chemistry class? I fucking hate science.
Yes.
And I done did all these other ones to get this little certificate of initial and advanced mastery, and now I gotta take a chemistry class just to get into your school?
No.
There's other universities.
There is. But good God. Okay, so I know we're like a date and relationship show. You know, we're talking about, I love this conversation, but I do want to circle back to like what... I mean, you got a boyfriend and you brand new to this, so it kind of feels weird, but like, what is it like? Maybe some of your friends have experience that you can share, like the dating life, the date, like the scene of how they people meet and how they interact and what does a date look like on college campuses?
Mm. I would say my first year, like, it's advice to you. You're kind of, like, guarding it. Don't date your freshman year. Okay. I dated, like, getting towards, like, my second semester, and I like, hated it. I was like, this isn't for me. So I always tell people, like, do not date your freshman year. Because, like, coming from Portland and going to Atlanta, like, Atlanta, I stay in the, like, we say the metro. Yeah. So I stay, like, in dead middle of Atlanta. So right next to, like, where Mercedes-Benz Stadium is. Yeah. And, again, I stay in the AUC. So I got Morehouse and Spelman. So the dating scene is kind of in Morris Brown. It's huge. So it's, like, really when people say, like, oh, it's just, like, what is it people say about the fish?
Plenty of fish.
Plenty of fish.
There's definitely plenty of fish in the sea. Because we have Morehouse and you have Clark. So many guys. And really how it looks is, again, I'm sitting in front of the library. It's August. We still have not started school. And guys are just constantly coming up to you all the time. So, like, and then I think dating, how it looks. I think first, my freshman year, it was like a date in the calf. You know, like sitting in the booth. Yeah.
That is cute.
Dating like Blackbird.
The calf.
Blackbird. It's kind of like what the first
time. I got your meal on my card today. Right? I got you.
$2.50. Yes.
$2.50.
And I got Tupperware.
$2.50. I wish.
It's expensive.
It is expensive. I was exaggerating. I'm not that old.
But I haven't really like been super indulgent in the dating scene, just based off of the fact that when I do, just, you know, when I'm walking, going to the store, just trying to get my life together and randomly get approached by this guy. What did he say? He said something along the lines of, he asked me if I wanted a ride while he was posted on the sidewalk. So I was kind of confused.
Where's your car?
I was kind of confused. I'm like, where was that?
And are you standing here waiting?
Like, and then I was like,
on the scooters. Yes.
On the scooters. And so I sat there and I lied. I was like, no, I have a boyfriend. He was like, oh, it's okay. He was like, oh, it's okay. I have plenty of girlfriends. Do you want to be one of them?
I hate that.
Do you want to be one of them? And at that point, I was just really thrown for a loop.
Oh, no.
I remember one of my favorite little scenarios that you shared with me was a guy in a class that you thought was kind of interesting. You're like,
Yeah,
let me tell you about this guy who sits next to me. He's so cute. And like you, I remember you being very like interested in wanting to know like if he's single. And she was like, I think when I go to school tomorrow and I have class with him, I'm just gonna ask him like, so are you single? I'm like, so you're not gonna start?
Did you?
No,
I didn't do that.
Wait, no. I was like, so you're not gonna start by what is your name first? Because she didn't even know his name.
I didn't.
And she wasn't even interested in his name. I was like, so let's start with maybe hi, my name is, and what is yours?
Like, what's the point in wasting time?
This is the formality. Why are we time with names?
Why do I need to know your name if you're not single?
You know what? No, I ain't mad at that.
I was cracking up. I was like, okay, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
Let's start with a name and then we'll find out, you know, if they're single, but like,
right.
Hi.
Oh God!
Are you single?
That is, I can't even mad at it because like I can't feel it. Like why bother if you're not single? I'm not gonna get to know you.
Oh my gosh!
I feel it.
I was because she kept talking. She just kept talking about him, and I was like, "What is his name?"
Like
I don't know his name.
Oh God! No, you know the worst pickup line that I heard was we were walking around freshman year, and it's me and my roommates, and we were all like trying to, you know, get the gist of the land. So we go to the boys' side of the dorm, and these guys sitting outside the dorm, and she was a church girl, so she hadn't kind of like, I'm not gonna say I was outside, but I was outside just in a safe way, you know, in high school. my mom would think otherwise, but whatever. But no, so we're walking and she don't know how to talk to guys, and she's like, every guy's like, hey. She's like, oh my god, right? And this guy walks up to her and goes, damn, you the baddest bitch in here. She was like, oh, and I was like, and that was bring your stupid ass up. And she was like, but he's talking to me. And I was like, no, I said, first of all, and I was that friend that I was always like, you ain't gonna be talking to my friend like that. And he was like, my bad, you know, much respect, whatever. And
respect, not much respect. If you feel me though.
Oh my God. I was like, this is what we not gonna do. That was my moment. I was like, oh yeah, we're not doing this.
That is hilarious. So even though you're in a relationship now, what do you guys think about like meeting people online? Do you like meeting on Instagram or Facebook?
See, that's how I met him. I met him on Instagram.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
and you be trying to clown me.
No. Let's be very clear. It's not that I try to clown her. she'll be like, yeah, so Coco, I met this guy and, you know, he's kind of cool. We've been chit-chatting for a while and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. So like, what does he do? She's like, well, he goes to this school. I'm like, how did you meet a guy from, you go all the way out of state. Okay, yeah. You travel all the way across the U.S.
Yeah,
you're in quote unquote chocolate city.
Yeah,
quote air quotes here.
Yeah,
and she's over here telling me about some cutie patootie in where Morehouse.
Hey,
anyway, and I was
that's
like,
what she should do is she should hit up the Kayla South and be like, hey, you know this person?
South. And that's why I was like, girl, you got all these guys in your own area. And
but
you...
I don't. I told you they're all shared.
Oh my god, shared property.
Communal property.
So it's not that I'm getting on you where you're meeting them, but I'm just like, it's just kind of crazy. You got
it could
so
be way worse. Like I could be out here on Tinder. I could
please low-key. Don't
let's not do any of that.
Oh,
I just don't want that for either.
I keep it cute.
I feel like that's like
I keep
Tinder
it cute.
For children at this point. Like what is happening?
I keep it for you.
I'll never forget like the day I turned 18. This is kind of random, but the day I turned 18, I get this notification from Facebook, and they're like, make you a Facebook dating account.
Oh my
I'm
gosh,
like,
not Facebook.
No.
No. It's time to get on our app. You are of age.
No.
It's time to wed you off.
We're going to push you over here to pop a smooth pop.
Oh my God. Not the poppies.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Okay, so you have a boyfriend. So mm-hmm. What does dating look like for you guys as upperclassmen and everything else?
I think so far, like I said, going back to the Instagram thing, I feel like that's really how I'm like you meet some of them. Because like, I mean, I wouldn't mind meeting somebody while I'm walking down the class, but I don't like meeting people at parties. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's just like, why are
that
you there?
Part.
But why am
it's
I
like
here
a
too?
Bad grad.
Yeah. So it's like that's really a lot. And then also you're not.
Come
you're
here, girl. I won't dance with ya.
Exactly. That's exactly how it was. Or you're like sitting there a section, and then you see one guy talk to you, then 2 minutes later he's talking to somebody else. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not for me. But really kind of looks like for me and him. Again, he goes to Morehouse. He stays on campus, and I kind of stay off campus. Mm-hmm. But we still like, and he also is from, we stay on the same side of the world too, because that was the hardest thing. When talking to somebody, and I went home for break, and you're still in Georgia, and the 3-hour difference.
Yeah.
I was like, and then when you think I'm doing something, like, listen, there's nobody here in Portland.
So he's on this
part.
Side?
He's yes,
from the
he's
West
from
Coast?
LA. Yes.
Yeah,
so
Oh.
So you have an LA guy.
Yes,
interesting.
I do.
I've never had luck with men from LA.
Really?
Mm. They're very Hollywood to me.
Mm.
They have an air about them.
Is it
yeah,
just
maybe.
LA or is it California?
Well, so people from California will all say, yeah, I'm from LA.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if they're from freaking Fresno or
you know what I mean? Bakersfield.
Like, listen, be like, yeah, you know, San Francisco treat, baby.
Ding, ding.
But they do. They have, like, well, I can't say this for all because I'd be wrong, but most of the guys who I've met from California have this LA air.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know how you guys talk about the guys there because the women outnumber them by so much that it's a...
communal.
It's a, I know
it's, a it's a it's an honor and privilege for you to be talking to me.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
That.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that doesn't do it for me.
She said she got a story. Go ahead, girl.
No, I'm just saying, like,
that's
really
relatable.
How they carry themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who do you think you are?
So Hollywood.
Which is so funny because I feel like that's how it is in Portland. So we have this conversation a lot where it's
so
everywhere.
So where is it not like this? Is it that women outnumber men everywhere?
We're taking over.
Huh?
We're taking over.
Ooh.
Not
it's
getting
real.
Real. We're getting rid of all the men.
It's
that's
getting
awful,
real.
I don't like it.
May the
like
odds
it.
Forever be in your favor.
Right.
It's like Hunger Games out here for men.
Man, I don't like it. I don't like
oh,
it.
Oh, God. So were you guys given any advice prior to going to the HBCU?
No, and I always got on my sister for that because I called her and I'm like, we have this like freshman week, so like NSO, and we're like having like a party, not like a party, but like party on the promenade. And I'm telling her like, so you didn't want to tell me the songs like Dreams of Nightmare, like freestyle, like you didn't want to tell me
that
no.
part,
like, you didn't
that part.
Me. So I'm like, you're waxer,
with
to go left and then right, like slow down. I'm like, okay.
And then so you get real hype. You didn't want to put me up.
Right. Like, yeah, you don't go here. I was like, yeah, you're not from up here. I was like, yeah. Or just like anything, or like any Young Dolph song, any little baby song, because I stay in Atlanta. I'm just like, I'm not used to this.
Aww.
And I got on her and I was like, really?
Aww.
Really? You didn't prep me for the HBCU
like,
one?
I've learned so much in so little time, like go-go music.
Don't you love it though?
It's cool, but I'm like, what is this?
You know, my roommates were from Virginia. Yeah. They're from Woodbridge, and I hated go-go music.
Until when? Because we sure be like sexy.
I hated it until I came to DC, and I was like, oh, you a whole vibe. Because when I could tell you, I could not stand. Every damn day, I was like, what and why do I do another steel drum or a goddamn cowbell? I'm over it. I'm tired.
Yeah. DMV but is its own culture.
But it is. I like it now.
Yeah. New Balances.
Because we'll be at the Pancake House.
Yes,
at 4 in the morning.
The New Balances.
Oh, the slang. They love some New Balance and some Vans.
The slang. They say Mo a lot.
Mm. Oh, I've heard that. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So now in Atlanta, you guys, like, everybody gets real wild over the lemon pepper wings.
Yes.
And then, oh, for you,
lemon pepper wet
wings. And then yes. For you, it's the
mambo sauce.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some things that are very specific to the region that you're in? Ooh, that
I would say definitely the wings. Like, we have, like, in our we have a cafeteria, and then we have something called it's not Wingstop. Well, I've not been out of school that long. We have, like, a place where you can buy wings at. So, like, let's be like, this is really Atlanta. Because, like, why do I have, like,
a no other place you in just there to have buy wings. Wings? Where are the rest of chicken at? Right. What did you do with the rest of the chicken?
Hey. Out of everything to buy, like, why is there a wing spot? So that part is really, like, everywhere you go, it's like, it's a wing
spot.
But I'm
going to tell you this, American Deli? In the West End, best wing place.
Yeah, I want to try American Deli so bad.
Bomb. Because they have so much more. They have options. There's so many options. Oh, you got a burger, chicken strips.
So bad.
Yeah. Literally anything.
I'm not going to lie. The lemon pepper wet with the Philly cheesesteak combo.
That's where it's at.
Fries, bomb.
That's where it's at.
I get that every time. Okay. But okay, so what's... Okay, so the wings... What, like, is there slang that's specific?
They say twin a lot.
Twin.
Like, what's up, twin? Like, twin.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that.
Or
word.
I'm like, I don't look like you.
No, right. That was it.
They say, girls say, I don't look like you.
Same class. That was it. And they're like, yeah, you're not from here, are you? I was like, no, we don't say that over there. No. I'm like, not your twin. But it was more like, oh, you're twin. Or like, you're my twin. Like, kind of like a bro friend type of vibe. Or like, word. Or like, word. I'm like, oh, that's
they do
mad
say
crazy.
Word. They do say word.
What is the biggest question you guys get when you tell someone when you're originally from Portland, Oregon?
Oh, black people live there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else?
What is there to do out there?
Okay, anything else?
We get that a lot.
Anything else? Did you? What was the most common question you had?
What do y'all
where
got
is
out
it
there?
At?
Where is it at? Mm-hmm.
That. And I'm like, how did you get here? Did you not have geography?
No,
so in my class, folks don't even was in Washington.
Well, but a lot of folks I find feel like Oregon is in the middle of the states, like near Colorado.
Because of the Oregon Trail.
And I'm like, right there.
I was like, we have a whole coastline. I was like, we sit below Washington, above California. Like, how do you just jump over a whole state and not realize that it's there?
Because, you know, people don't think oxen live on a coast.
And they think that all we have is salmon and trees. And they're like, oh, yeah, the Blazers.
We got
and
coffee.
That's they definitely know. Yeah. Or I get like a... They're like, oh, that's not really the West Coast. You're not really a part of the West Coast. I'm like, well, if you really want to look at the map, we really are.
We really are.
I like say that like I'm from the West Coast. I always say that.
It's all of California is the West Coast, and then Oregon, Washington is the Pacific Northwest.
Literally,
right. Yes.
We're
not a part of it at all.
No, we don't get included. Yeah, we're its own. Rainy, salmon-y, tree place.
What flannels and Carhartt.
A duo full,
right. Because we have a flannel store. Okay, so I know that because we don't have, like, I wouldn't say we have an accent out here, right? We don't have an accent, but we have, like, a way that we sound.
Yeah. Oh, I get that.
Okay. It's dependent on who I talk to.
Okay.
Some people say I don't have an accent. Some people say, like, I sound.
You say I have an accent for different.
With certain words. Like, say syrup.
Syrup? Okay, syrup. What do you say?
First of all, you say it again because you said it really funky.
Syrup.
Funky? Yes.
Say syrup.
Sir.
Yeah, that is a little different.
That's not different.
You were sipping on some scissor. What you doing?
It's like pancakes and syrup.
What?
Like, don't you guys don't say the
syrup?
Word that you want some pancakes
I
and
say
syrup.
Wait,
I say syrup.
Say pancake.
Bombastic side eye. I'm like trying to figure this out.
Oh god, you guys are making me tear up. Pancakes.
Now you sound like you have like a British. That was a little. That was different.
What is going on?
No way.
Oh god.
Where did this come from?
I don't know. Did you? I don't know.
And I literally have tears in my eyes right now. Who said that in your family?
Just me.
Syrup, I thought was just from you being in the DMV for a while, but
the pancake?
Pancake?
just how it's just how it comes out. And
she sat in the mirror one day, was like, bun cake.
Bun cakes and syrup.
Bun cake.
And then, like, so I know me specifically, like, I'll over enunciate T's, like, cotton. Curtain.
You do that.
I over enunciate T's. I cannot help it.
Oh
but,
my gosh.
I don't know.
But, I don't, but again, that's not a Portland thing. That is absolutely a me thing.
It is definitely a you thing. I don't know anybody in this world that's been like that.
Never in my life have I been like, Mom, can you make some punk cake?
We used to drive down the street. She'd be like, what did you say?
You clearly have the entire room. Like, what the fuck?
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Oh, even me, I'm over here wanting to fucking.
What the fuck?
What the fucking?
Oh my gosh!
Oh my god! Okay, so I'm gonna bring it back. Are there like specific must do, go to, must participate events at your schools?
I would say homecoming for sure.
Yeah.
Any like yard fest that we have. Really, and like there's like specific parties that you like have to go to. I feel like any Founders Day party that you have to attend, because we have three founding dates, so we turn up for every single one.
Gotcha. I was gonna say the same thing. Homecoming for sure.
Okay.
There are a select few parties, and then definitely like the yard shows, step shows, things like that.
Yes, sort. And we have this thing called Juve that is a must. That is a must to go to. So it's like we go. It's usually at Morehouse, like in their like parking lot. Sounds kind of like a little. And you kind of put on your shorts and your bathing suit. And I always make sure I have my hair in a cap because they start throwing the paint. It's Caribbean. It's a Caribbean party. And when I tell you. Caribbeans down there, they get down. They just not play. Like, they are jumping. They are flipping. They're like having water guns are getting splashed everywhere. I have like powder paint. So I always wear like a white shirt too.
With
my bathing suit under so you can see the powder paint. That is also a must party you have to go to.
That does sound fun.
That's hilarious. Who are your guys' rival schools?
Morehouse.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've never, is yours between Hampton and you, because you guys always argue about like the
who's
HU.
Who's the original HU.
Right, but there's other universities that are closer, so it's not about proximity, it's just about...
I think it's just real HU.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from, but it's here.
Is that like your... Do you guys play each other in sports?
We do.
You're both part of the... You're not both... You're both in the MEAC, right?
I want to say
Is CAU in the SWAC or no? They're
I think we are. We're also a D2 school, so
it's called SWAC.
But we played Morehouse.
Southern. I don't know how Southwest Athletic Conference.
Got it. Okay.
I know that A&M, but it's it's the lore of the black schools.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We're not known for having like the top.
We're known for the bands.
We are known for the bands.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the bands.
Our Magic City Classic gets featured on BET every year. Yeah. And that's a must.
And your university was featured in this year's Macy's Day Parade.
The first HBCU to lead the parade.
Yes.
Absolutely. It was so dope.
I love it.
It was amazing. And so our rival school is AS Who, and that's Alabama State University, but who's yours?
That is a great question. I'm sitting here
I wonder
to think
that
about
too.
It because
is it Morgan?
It's either Morgan or Bowie. Actually.
Oh, okay.
And you would think that it would be Hampton also because it's just across the water from us, but it's not.
Okay.
But we used to also we're real close to ODU, but ODU is not even a HBCU.
Gotcha.
It's just it's a very interesting mashup.
And so for HBCUs, we have classics, and then PWIs have Civil War games, right?
Yeah.
Is it just Oregon?
Civil War is only Oregon State.
Oh, is it? Okay,
every school that has like their rival, they call that event something different.
Okay, gotcha.
And I didn't know that either.
I thought
every rival school, I thought it was always called a Civil War until I went to another school and I was like, no, that's just an Oregon State thing.
Oh, okay, I thought it was every PWI called it Civil War. Learn something new every day.
So they'll call them different. I mean, obviously, we've got Battle of the Bay, we got all these different things.
Gotcha.
But no, if you were to go to like Pepperdine and whoever their university that they're
the Battle of the Calculators.
There you go. There you go.
We gonna press these buttons.
I'm gonna throw some pepper in your face.
Whoa.
With their pound cakes.
With the pound cakes
and syrup.
And syrup. Oh my goodness. Girl, I'm still tripping on the pound cake.
I just don't know that you guys didn't know that I said that.
I never. Well,
it's just, it's really pond cakes for me.
Yeah. It's the pond cake. I can do with the cup to and
all that. I can even deal with syrup. But
pond cakes.
Pond cakes.
Like you really do an English accent. That's what you say. It.
Yes. That's just how you say it.
It's just how it literally comes out. It's like, it's weird.
You have to fix your vocal cords for that.
But like, but there's even some things that sound super Canadian that come out of my mouth too. So it just, I'm mixed. And I do mix things.
No, I think that
I don't claim that.
Because I don't.
You don't have to. It's my mixed analogy.
I don't say pancakes like that.
I don't think anybody does.
I say pancakes.
Oh my God. Okay. What is one piece of advice you would give to somebody who is thinking about going to an HBCU?
I would say really just do your HBCU research. Don't be like me. And you're out there and they're just singing Dreams and Nightmares and you don't know. But then also...
Because you're not from Philly. And...
No, really. I think that's my biggest thing because I get it a lot when doing tours about like what are some advice that you have for us to really also work on your grades. Because like, they, you know, especially like your junior and senior year, I guess. And just do your HBCU research. Because I push also with, like, D9, like, also research on that or a little bit more on your university. Also, like, what your school offers. Because I have a lot of people who are, like, nurse majors. I'm like, we don't offer that. But this is your dream school.
Yeah,
so really just figuring out what you're interested in and then trying to find a school that has that same major.
I would say I feel like I hear about a lot of people who steer away from going to HBCUs in the first place just because they feel like there's less opportunity. But... And I say this, I go to a big HBCU. Number one, there's so many HBCUs. And number two, so to build on top of that, there is something there for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, you have options when it comes to picking an HBCU, going to an HBCU, what type of experience you get there. Like, there's something for everybody. That would be my advice.
Love it. Nikki, you got advice for anybody who wants to go to HBCU?
Yes. My advice for those wanting to go to HBCU is... Scholarship.
That too. School's expensive.
Because school's expensive, and especially if you're coming from Oregon, you are out of state.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so out of state is about twice the amount as in-state tuition. So I absolutely recommend doing your research on scholarships. And then to both of your points, research the school that you're looking at, because every school does offer something different. And just simply hearing, oh, this school sounds like fun, doesn't mean the fun school has what you want to do after school as a major. So picking the school that aligns with your career goals.
I would also say, you made me kind of think about this as well, you have to stay on top of your stuff when you go to an HBCU, because
they won't.
They're not, you might be on hold for an hour. You might not get an email back for a week. You might go in person just for them not to even have the answer you're looking for. You gotta be on top of it and come with everything you need to have.
Literally, you have to advocate for yourself. Yeah, because like, no one can advocate.
That
is so true.
There is no handholding.
Yeah,
no,
at all.
Yeah,
because I remember sitting in them lines
just to get deregistered.
Camping out, like, oh, you going to the financial aid office? It's 6 o'clock in the morning. We got to sit in the hallway for about 5-10 hours. Yeah. Luckily, y'all don't have it as bad as we did, because we didn't have the phone calls. I mean, there was emails and phone calls.
They weren't taking the
internet, but you literally had to go in person.
Yeah.
And all that. I said my piece of advice would be to get to know the admin and make connections, because it is definitely who you know. Like, if
it's about who you know.
It really networking is. Like, is it's about grades and it's about all those things. But if you know the right person who can press that right button to get your refund check, they're going to do it. So make those connections. I also would say stay on campus. Don't move off campus. Yours is a little different because, you know, you guys have off-campus student living. Because I know where the Metro's at. But I moved off campus and got an apartment, like like where I had to pay monthly rent. Like, you know, if there's off campus student apartment where you can, you know, put it in your tuition, do that.
Yeah.
But don't worry about getting a job and paying bills and all that, because you miss out on all of this.
I feel like I miss out a lot of not being
when I moved off campus. Because then you have to work full time to support the apartment that you had to have.
That part.
And now you're not going to any events. Because you thought you
were partying the whole time and having to be in the spot.
But you got
to that part. You want to be on campus. You don't want to miss the word of mouth activities and the events and all those things. And if you're doing Greek, you know, if you want to do Greek, a lot of that is word of mouth and being on campus and present. So it's difficult. So I would say those two things will help you get very, very far. So I love this. This is so good. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know if I want to put y'all out there. Like, where can they find you?
Because
you're, like,
you're my
babies.
They're of age. But there might be some. Right. Let them be found if they want to be
find you guys if you want to be found?
Like, do we drop our
like in social media?
If you're in, yeah, if you're into social media, if you want anyone to follow you, reach out to you. Maybe someone has questions about scholarship or wants advice about HBCUs.
I guess I can get my Instagram or my LinkedIn.
Where can we find you on Instagram?
Oh, okay. You can find me at your. Do I have to spell it out?
If it's hard to say.
Oh no! No, just your girl Kayla with two Y's.
Okay. My Instagram is the Kyla J. There's three E's in there, so T H E E E Kyla K Y L A J. That's it. That's my Instagram. Find me on Facebook, Kyla Burrows.
Be found. Nick B, where can you be found?
Yes,
at?
I can be found on all social media related to Dirty Roses Podcast. Yes. May that be our website. May that be our Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok. Mm. And if you want to reach me specifically, I can be found on Instagram at @NickB_NickB. And Miss Lee Larie, where can we find you?
I can be found everywhere. It is Lee Larie, LEIGHLARIE, on every single social media platform, as well as, again, DirtyRosesPodcast.com and Dirty Roses Podcast everywhere. Hit us up in the inbox if you want to get sponsored, featured, or if you've got a show idea, let us know, because we're going to be taking ideas for season 5.
Period.
Yes. But thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll see y'all next time.
Okay.
Guess what, Rose Buddies? We are thrilled to introduce our new sponsorship packages. Be sure to hit us up at DirtyRosesPodcast.com to inquire how we can showcase your brand on our platforms.